Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Chris Brownell. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Chris is resident engineer with the Missouri Department of Transportation, the Central District here in Jefferson City. And so we're going to talk today about big projects going on that basically, if you go from Missouri Boulevard to the Missouri River Bridge, that is kind of impacted by this work. Chris, as I understand it, there are four separate projects on the boards for this corridor between that area. Can you kind of break down the four projects individually to talk about when it's being done, the specific work that's going to be done in those areas?
I'll just say with the order of construction, we started with a bridge washing contract that was for eastbound and westbound bridges over the Missouri River. That job started kind of in late winter and it completed in the spring. So that work is all done. While that project was going on to wash and clean the bridge, we started another project, which a lot of people may see. There's a new concrete lane in the median eastbound as you come off the bridge, as you're heading east, north, The bridge kind of has at an angle. So you'll see the concrete median lane. That was the next contract that started up. We have that completed now. That's been recently completed. There's a few things waiting for grass growth. Also, that extra lane there in the median was also coupled with some work that you'll see on 94 that was over by Hitachi. We took and straightened up an intersection right there with Hitachi and Waymire Road. We straightened that up. And then We widened 94 a little bit to allow us for some center turn lanes. It was important for the movements there. That was all together on one contract, and it's all been completed now. People may wonder why that center median turn lane isn't open yet.
Right.
That was a conscious decision. That was a design decision because we are overlaying 54 from Jeff City. I'll say that's the third contract. Overlaying Jeff City from 54 from Jeff City all the way to Kingdom City.
Oh, wow.
There's quite a few miles of pavement. We're doing eastbound and westbound. So That'll be nice to get a nice smooth surface. We're also doing concrete pavement repairs. So there's concrete sections in there. They still ride pretty smooth, but there's sections that are pretty rough. We'll have to do some structural repair on that. We're going to improve that corridor. But the timing was to do the first contract to add the median lane. That's going to increase capacity. Basically, we're going to have two lanes of 54 coming off the bridge and continuing dedicated on 54. And then we'll have one dedicated lane going to 63.
Okay.
So just as if you were going to Airport Road coming off the bridge, it's dedicated to the Airport Road or Route W, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lane like that going straight on 63 up to Columbia. So it takes some of that capacity off and gives us a couple lanes. It adds a lane. We're going to hopefully see less delays in the future for normal commuting times.
Yeah.
So that's the second contract, adding the lane. Mm-hmm. The third contract with surfacing to make that work, we really need to resurface everything and we're going to put a nice smooth surface on the new median lane. So it's all black. It's all asphalt. It's all going to be striped at the same time and opened at the same time.
Okay.
So that's why those two contracts are kind of coordinated. Now, the asphalt from here to Kingdom City is going to go on until, I think, June or July of next year, 2025.
Right.
But we have a deadline of August 30th to get work from the river bridge basically through the floodplain to the bottom of the hill on the way up the Holt Summit there.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to get that paved out by August 30th.
Okay.
That was on that contract. That's a resurfacing contract. So we're still hoping for that. Let's enter in the fourth contract, timing of which with these contracts are what they are. The work needs to be done. We have a couple bridges on 54 and the tri-level, the top bridges. They're in little disrepair and they need some help. The timing of it is we need to do it now. When you let contracts, contractors have time. They bid it and they have a window to do the work. And some of these windows are shorter, some are longer, but just with the timing of everything, with all the clearances and initial impacts that you have to go through to get acceptance to where you can start the work, it looks like these contracts are going to be at the same time. Plus, we needed some warmer months to do this tri-level bridge contract. So it was going to be in the summertime.
What's the specific work that's being done to those bridges?
To the tri-level bridges?
Yeah.
I think they were built in the 50s or 60s. Then they were widened at some time in its life. Well, the longitudinal joint that runs the length of the bridge, there's a couple of them on each side. Water, salt, they get into any kind of void or crack, and they get down below, and they start really doing their job on the concrete, on the steel.
Mm-hmm.
And those longitudinal joints, if you stop and look up under those bridges, you'll see it. So we need to really kind of cavern out the concrete on the bottom and the top to get that kind of exposed, remove some of the bad rebar and bad concrete, and then put new rebar and pour it back with some stronger concrete. That's the plan. And then when we're all done, we're going to put a nice, strong wiring service on both bridges that will give us hopefully a good long life as far as a deck.
Yeah.
And it'll be sealed off. There won't be any joints on top. It should help us for 20, 30 years, hopefully.
So this has some latex component to it, is that right?
Right, latex modified concrete. Okay. It's just a special concrete that has some of those chemicals in it to lay it pretty thin. We lay it like an inch and a quarter.
Yeah.
And it just has a really good, strong strength. And it's kind of an expensive wearing surface, but I mean, in lieu of replacing a whole deck, I mean, that's pretty cheap. And we get quite a long life out of it. So that's the work that we have to do there. Of course, I'm back to the timing and the coordination of everything. Mm-hmm. The August 30th date, I said, as far as going from the Missouri River Bridge to through that floodplain to get it all asphalt and get all those lanes open, will probably be impacted. We're going to try to work it out. I mean, it's not changed yet, but based on the timing of the contracts, it's my job to have a good coordination between contractors. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm the middle person that's going between those two, and we have to do it safely. Sometimes this contractor has to give a little bit in his schedule. This contractor has to do the same, but we do. I get to see the whole picture,
sure.
And so I can kind of direct that. The August 30th date is very important to try to get that open as soon as possible. So I want to try to keep that, but hey, we'll see.
Right.
We got to keep safety in mind too. So traffic control on the trial level is something I'm sure we're going to discuss here soon.
Yeah.
But the traffic control that we have to set up is going to impact the other contract. We'll just see how bad it does as time goes.
Well, let's talk about the traffic control. So how will the lanes be affected in that fourth contract there on the tri-level, those two bridges? How will lanes be affected as well as ramps?
There's a lot to that conversation. So 54 obviously will be impacted both eastbound and westbound because what we have to do is close one section of bridges. So I think in the stage one, we're going to close the westbound bridges and we're going to take the westbound traffic, which was two lanes, turn it into one lane and divert it over to the eastbound. And then that in turn makes the eastbound one lane. So we'll have one eastbound lane, one westbound lane on the eastbound bridge. So that's head-to-head traffic right there, and that's on 54. They'll be able to do the work. That's stage one or phase one. I think our website says phase one. And then after we do the work on the westbound, then we'll flip that.
Okay.
And we'll do head-to-head on the westbound that's already been built and fixed and work on the eastbound bridge.
Okay.
So that's it. That's what we have to get through on 54. Because of the tri-level, doing those movements, setting up that traffic control, and how it's already impacted over that concentration, that bottleneck at the bridge anyway, it's going to affect 50 and 63 just by the traffic congestion in the back.
And its proximity. Yeah.
And its proximity. We can't get away from that.
How much traffic hits those bridges every day?
Well, I can speak to the tri-level bridge because I have the plans right there. And I know it's in the 30,000 cars a day that are going through there. Just 54 alone. I've heard other estimates, 60, 80,000 in the tri-level itself with all the roads and all the traffic that go through there. It's definitely going to get impacted. I see that Highway 50 traffic on the westbound side and 63 traffic on the westbound side come over the westbound bridge. They'll be impacted. Probably more. The congestion for 54 will start right there at the west side of the bridge and start to back up there, which that congestion will impact all the roads coming. The eastbound congestion for 54, that stack and that backing traffic that we anticipated is going to back up before you get to the tri-level.
Yeah.
So I'm really considering the eastbound 50 and 63 traffic should be able to get through. I mean, I'm not saying without delay, but there's delays daily, but I'm hoping they get through with just normal delay.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Jeff City rush hour traffic will be impacted substantially, but also on the weekends because of the season. How much of a difference in traffic is there? Traffic numbers are there between normal Tuesday and Friday or Sunday?
I don't have that information as far as that determination. You know, we have a design number on average traffic, and that's kind of what we're going on. But, you know, in talking to our maintenance and talking to other staff, you know, we know Friday nights going westbound, Friday evenings going westbound, and Sunday afternoons going eastbound are generally as high as any of the traffic we'll see. But that's a peak time. It's kind of a Memorial Day to Labor Day, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't have the actual data. I'm sure we can compile that.
Yeah. Well, and it strikes me, as we talk about this, there's obviously two classes of drivers, those who drive it every day, whether it's commuting to or from Columbia or just crossing the river, but then there are also those that are coming from Iowa going to the lake. So obviously there's some different approaches to educate folks or to forewarn them of their potential challenges they're going to face. So how are you trying to communicate to the local drivers? And we'll talk about how you're communicating to those getting off I-70 or some other place farther away.
We've had some public meetings. We've also reached out to media and let them know of our press releases early. We generally don't always let a lot of press releases out till we have a date that something's going to start.
Yeah.
It is a little awkward. But in this scenario, we can't pinpoint that date because it's out of our control. There's other approvals that the contractor has obtained. Once that starts, I mean, we're at 2 weeks. So, you know, once they tell us, hey, we've got it, it's 2 weeks and then we're going to start. So, you know, we've had these media releases. We have a website dedicated to the project and we don't turn down any interviews such as this to get the message out. And we're really hoping, you know, Facebook, we do social media. I know there's emails that go out to stakeholders, municipalities and business. We have a list that our communication staff maintains. So there's direct emails. There's public news releases. I've seen it on the nightly news several times locally. Yeah. And then, you know, just individual interviews. But we're trying to get the message out that this is going to impact our local commuters.
So for those who just encounter it, the occasional user of it, how do you communicate with them?
So on the road, right, we're going to have, it's a series of the big message boards, we call them CMS boards, but they're changeable message signs. They're electric, they're big, and they're on the side of the road, and they usually get the attention better than a static sign.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have our static signs that are going to still get people through the work zone of what to expect. There's no detour here, so it's really just a work zone, but we have additional signage. And then those big message boards are there as, there'll be some that'll alert, but as far as every all the time. But then there's other boards that will only come on is if the delays occur. So if traffic starts to back up, and traffic could back up before you see a construction sign. So we go back 3-4 miles with these big message boards and we have detectors. So when the detector feels like traffic piling, it'll see that and send a signal to the message board back and say, watch for stop traffic ahead. Okay. So we're trying to prevent the rear end situations that often occur with back traffic.
Sure.
So that's a safety precaution that we are putting out there. We also have some, you know, trying to tell people to zipper merge. I know we've had that. Mm-hmm. There's an initiative for that where it really appears to be natural human behavior. When it, you know, you have a right lane closed, everybody gets in the left lane.
Yeah.
And then if somebody stays in the right lane and zips on by 100 cars, they get very upset.
Yeah.
But the design of a natural work zone and a zipper merge is to use that storage of both lanes.
Yeah.
And then you take turns at the taper. That is the best way to not back up so far and be able to get through it actually more efficiently. But all we can do is to put out the boards and the messaging and hope people do that. And it does work. It does work. It's just a matter of if it'll happen. And we're open to it.
So you make note of this. There's really not a way to detour around this construction zone. Right.
Correct. I mean, but the road is open, so it's not like it's a detour situation. It's just a delay.
Right. Right.
And so we wouldn't put a detour route out. And I think we have communicated that there are other routes indicated. There's other state routes and other bridges.
Right.
Oaksport being a bridge, Herman being a bridge.
Yeah.
There's ways to get around, but they are lengthy. Yeah. But if you're coming from a distance, say the Iowa driver you were talking about going to the lake, you know, if they look at our traveler information map,
yep,
which is very popular, and I use it when I take trips, you can really plot your path out. I think those things work with your apps, your driving apps, your maps apps. I think that if we put something closed on there, they do recognize that.
Yeah.
However, we may have a detour route signed, but those driving apps don't follow the detour.
Oh.
So it's like they take the, I don't mean to digress, but we have a project in Herman, Missouri. We close Route 19 on the Herman side of the Missouri River Bridge.
Yeah.
19 has a detour. You can still get across the bridge. The bridge is wide open. But 19, that Franny Creek there in Herman, that one closed. So if you're doing a driver app, it'll show you that it's closed, but it diverts you on city streets. So if you're a semi truck and you're paying attention to that and not the signs, you could get lost on a city street. So that's not always the best scenario. So we always say watch the signs.
Sure.
You know, and the signs aren't You know, they're not every 200 feet. There'll be a sign. It'll tell you to turn here for the detour, and you may not see another sign for a mile.
Yeah.
But you're on that route, and we hope that they follow the signs.
Okay. So looking longer term, has there or will there be discussions at some point, you think, to talk about different access points across the river here in the mid-Missouri area? I mean, it seems like it's a fair distance between Herman to here or to Rocheport. Is that something that's even being discussed for future consideration?
Not in my realm, no. Okay. You know, we are adding capacity, right? We're going from 3 lanes to 4 lanes on the eastbound bridge. And I think that same discussion, I may see a project soon about the westbound bridge doing the same. Currently, the eastbound is adding capacity, which that helps get people through.
Right.
The cross, have a major river bridge crossing is substantial cost.
Oh, yeah.
So balancing that, ODOT administration and the public and their input, that all gets balanced away. The only thing I've really heard about is the tri-level discussion.
Yeah.
And I've heard the central district engineer from ODOT has mentioned that to the public that, you know, we know it's an unfunded need, but if it becomes apparent, I'm sure we would start talking about that. But at this point, I haven't heard anything about the bridge.
Well, it's the tri-level is such a unique structure there. I mean, if MoDOT were to approach it now, I mean, you've got three major routes converging there at the tri-level, right? Is there another model that you could point to that would be how it would be designed today?
I mean, you could take the way that junctions are occurring in the cities in a more urban area and how they handle, whether it's flyover bridges or, you know, any creative way that they're doing these. I'm sure there's guidance out there that the designers and the traffic managers, the engineers there would probably pull from the vast experience in actual injunctions in play that we have to create something. So I could see they could create something pretty good, but every situation's unique. And especially if you have only two bridges going over the river. So, you know, you have some given, some set things that you have to work with. And after that, you're talking right away in space. So it's a very complex issue to change an intersection like that. That's not something we can just, we'll have some. That would take time.
Yeah. So I think you had mentioned this. I'm getting back to our initial discussion there. At this point, we don't have a firm start date for the fourth project here.
Yes.
So let's kind of go through again how you're going to notify folks. You're going to give them a couple weeks notice, right, when it's going to start?
It's for many facets, right? It's internally, we need to get everything set. So 2 weeks is a hard deadline. So Motor Carriers Division, they handle oversized and overweight loads. Of course, those bridges see that every day. They have permitted loads that go across in some fashion. This will impact that. We get a 2 weeks notice to motor carriers, and that way everybody that projected to go through there during certain time frames are going to be impacted. They can plan their route differently just for the impact of the media and getting the message out. We can finally put a date out when we have it and start moving towards that end. People can start planning. Okay, here it is. And, you know, maybe, this is going to fall during soccer. It's going to fall during, when I go to the lake, it's going to, you know, so they can start seeing that. Yeah. We want to get that out. We want to get the message out that it's coming. It's coming this season. Yep. And when we get a 2 week notice, we'll get that out as soon as possible. Put it on our website. Everybody can then start really planning.
Okay. So obviously, as of today, we're probably right around the 4th of July would be the earliest that time zone there.
As far as the 2 weeks, right? Yeah. As far as the 2 weeks go. We have restrictions that they can't work like half a day on the 3rd.
Yeah.
They can't work on the 4th, and then they can resume at some point in the morning on the 5th. Now, I can't see that occurring. I mean, technically by contract, but I don't see that occurring. Yeah. I think if the time frame happens to be where, you know, July 2nd you start, I imagine that'll push to Monday.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I foresee it. But
best case scenario, how long do you anticipate that piece of the project would take?
As far as the first phase?
Yeah.
Let's start with we got to set up the traffic control.
Right.
That means we got to cut some median barrier on each end. We have to clean up the crossover that there's a concrete crossover of the median that currently exists on that side of the bridge. We got to get that set up. Traffic will probably immediately start seeing some one lane on 54, some tapers to get them over because they have to do that work and it'll probably be daytime work. That'll occur. I anticipate that to be under 5 days.
Okay.
And then once they get, they'll probably push traffic to the outside because a lot of our work's on the inside. Then once we get that inside work set up, and at that point, we'll put them towards, you know, there'll be concrete barrier that the cars will run through for safety. Yeah. And then we'll divert them there. And that'll last, it's 90 days to complete all the work. So if you broke it in half, that would be 45 days and 45 days.
Okay.
But their schedule determines that. I will say now at this point, since we talked schedule and I've done the other 90 days, we know this is such an issue that we put incentives on special contracts when we really want to get in and get it out. And
right.
So we have 30 days of incentive on this project. They can get close to $250,000 if they can get it done in 60 days.
Okay.
So we're going to be ready 24/7 with my staff to answer any questions. The rest of MoDOT, is going to be committed too. So if we need something at a certain time, there's going to be a lot of resources for me to tie into to get the questions answered. And there's always something that comes up on these projects. So,
yeah.
But we're all committed. And if we can get it done on 60 days, we will. It just depends on the work, what we entail, and how much they put into it. If they elect to do a 90-day window, then we do. They won't get their incentive.
Yeah.
And there's disincentive. If they go over 90 days, there are some steep disincentives, some fees that they'll have to pay.
Yeah. Doing the math in my head, so if they were to start mid-July, just picking a number, we're looking at mid-September for a 60-day completion and mid-October.
That would be there.
So, well, any parting words you'd have for people who are going to be encountering this construction zone?
Well, I do. I want to mention, so if you're on 94 and 63, we're going to work on those bridges. So if you go across Missouri River Bridge, you hit the airport road overpass, and then you have two other overpasses. It handles Highway 94 and 63 traffic. There's already construction going on right now in preparation for what we're going to do, but both those bridges get rehabilitation. So in order to do that work, with the Cloverleaf situation, we're going to have to close the ramp. So if you're coming 94 north going to 63, you should be able to get straight through. But if you're going 94 and want to go to Jeff City, you're probably going to have to be diverted to a different ramp. We'll throw you like you're going to Holt Summit. Well, I'll throw you like you're going eastbound. And then we have temporary signals set up at Summit Drive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And probably people have already seen that.
Yep.
And that is because we anticipate increased traffic in that area. And we want to make sure that if the ramps don't back up to the highway,
right,
we can get the timing of everything. So that 94 traffic can still go to Jeff City, but they're going to have to go right and go up to Summit, come around and come back down. There were concerns about this in the timing of the other traffic. They are disconnected. It's not really connected one to the other. It's just another movement that somebody has to do. And, I hate that it may add to somebody's frustration, because if I want to get across the Jeff City and there's already a delay, now you're pushing me out and I have a little more delay.
Yeah.
It will affect a few, and we realize that. I hate to say it, but if we have some discomfort in our drives and it takes us a little longer, I would like to have it all done at once so I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to drag out. And so these are some of the, and with construction contracts, I don't have all the control of their schedule. We give them a window and they get to do it.
Yeah.
If something is unsafe, then I jump in and say, hey, we're going to have to coordinate this differently.
Right.
But these movements are safe, and it is something that we'll have to deal with. It's not confusing if you're the motorist on the road that you're on. If you're a motorist trying to figure out the entire situation, and if you want to try to go every situation that you want to go to, it will be confusing.
Yeah.
But if you focus on where you're going and look at what MoDOT has on the website and listen to the media, I think you'll be able to figure that out just fine. Pay attention to the road signs.
Yeah.
That should help you get through and have patience. Know there's a delay. If you cannot make a change in your work schedule, please leave later, earlier.
Yep.
Account for the time. But if you can change your work schedule, it may be better.
Yeah.
Just for the short time that we have this for a couple months. It just depends on how badly you're impacted.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.